أي إن خلقك أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على خير خلق الله العبد المؤيد والرسول المسدد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته المنتجبين. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا ابن رسول الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة nations. These advanced societies value time. Time actually has some sort of value. That's why they say time is money. Time equals money. That's why some lawyers, they charge by the hour. Because every hour that you spend with them, they could be spending it with someone else. That's why they'll charge you not by the case, not by the trial, but by the actual hour. This is a sophisticated society. This is an advanced society. Time equals money. That's why you see lots of projects are finished in a quick amount of time. You might see an entire building, 20 stories, 25 stories, built in 3 months, in 4 months, maximum. There's 24-hour shifts. There's no such thing as an 8-hour shift and everyone goes home. There's 24-hour shifts. Each 8 hours, a group of people go, another group of, people come. Everything starts on time. You go to the airport, your flight is on time. If they say it's at 8:37, the plane takes off at 8:37. Events start on time. The teacher comes in on time. Every program starts on time. This is an advanced society. This is an educated society, a successful society. Even the pizza delivery guy comes on time. Everyone comes on time. Why? Because time has a value. Time has a meaning. But when you look to uneducated, unsuccessful societies, time has absolutely no value. Time has absolutely no meaning. You go to a program that's supposed to start at a specific time, it starts 2 hours later. You go to the airport and the plane is delayed for 5 hours, 6 hours. And no one even comes and apologizes. You know why? Because it's something normal. It's not something offensive. Because to them, this is something normal. If the plane gets delayed for 5 hours or 6 hours, this is okay. Because time is nothing. Time has no value. So no one comes and apologizes to you. You go to a bureaucracy to renew your passport and to get a visa, they delay for hours. They tell you not today, come back tomorrow. You go back tomorrow, they tell you come back next week. You go after a week, they tell you come back next month. It has no meaning. You go to a bureaucracy to get something approved and the employee's having breakfast. At 11:30 in the morning, he's having breakfast. Well, we need to get our job done. People have to come and get their job done. No, he has to have his breakfast at 11:30 in the morning. People miss your job. And then when this office hours ends, 1 p.m. At 1 p.m., everything finishes, the office closes, and this employee goes back home and does what? Nothing but waste his time. Go and attend funerals. That's the highlight of their day, attend funerals. Time goes completely wasted. A person promises to be there, come and visit you. For example, at 5, he shows up at 7. This is normal. In uneducated, unsophisticated, unsuccessful societies, this is what happens. Time has absolutely no value. No value, no worth. And this doesn't just go for societies, communities, and nations. Even individuals. You notice a successful individual is a person who has value for time. Everything is on time. The time that he wakes up, it's scheduled. The time that he sleeps, it's scheduled. The time that he eats, the time he goes to work, the time he comes back from work, it's all a routine. It's all he says scheduled. This person is successful. Unsuccessful people, one day he wakes up at 10 in the morning, another day he wakes up at 8 in the morning, and another day he wakes up at 1 p.m. And his sleep is also disarranged as well. A person who has no value, no sense of time, this person is not going to be successful. And after all, individuals, they make up nations. A nation is made up of individuals. So if you have a group of individuals who have no sense of time, no value for time, the nation is going to have no sense of time. And that nation will be an unsuccessful nation. Time is very important, my dear friends. In fact, time is more important than money. Time is more important than money. Why? Because if you lose money, money is replaceable. If you lose 500 pounds, you'll make another 500 pounds. It's possible. You'll go work, someone might reimburse you, you'll make that money. But if time is lost, time is wasted, you can make up for it? It's replaceable? Absolutely not. That's why wasting time is much worse than wasting money. Shaheed Muqattari, rahmatullahi, this is a great scholar. He has a saying. He says that the worst kind of people, the worst kind of people in society, are the ones that not just waste their own time, but they waste the time of others as well. You see, religious people usually don't waste the money of others. If someone comes and gives you $500 and says, keep this with you, I'm going on a journey. Keep this $500, keep these 500 pounds with you until I come back. Usually, religious people make sure that these 500 pounds don't get lost. They either keep them in a safe or under their pillow, or I don't know where they from. They make sure that the 500 pounds are not lost. We religious people, we don't waste people's money, but we waste people's time. How many times do we go and visit people, sit there for 3 hours, or call them, talk on the phone for 45 minutes, and kill their time? These people are worse. To waste people's time is worse than wasting their money. Because when you waste a person's money, you can write them a check and say, here you go, sir. Here's a reimbursement for the money that I wasted. But when you waste their time, what are you going to say? Oh, here's your time back? That's it, that time is gone. These are the worst kind of people. Time has a lot of value, my dear friends. Time is very valuable and precious. Why? Because it's limited. You see, everything in the world that is limited, it becomes valuable. Everything precious and limited becomes valuable. If there's a book right now, the government puts a ban on this book. Believe me, the second day, the next day, everyone wants to go and buy this book. Why? Because it's limited. Because you can't have it. Everything that you can't have, people want. It becomes valuable. It becomes important. In psychology, this is called the Romeo and Juliet effect. Romeo and Juliet couldn't get together, it increased their passion for one another. When you can't have something, you desire it even more. It becomes precious. It becomes valuable. Time is the same. Time is limited. Time is very limited. It's like a block of ice in the middle of the sun. What happens to that block of ice? It melts, it melts, it melts until it completely turns into water. Time is the same. Time is precious. Time is like a glass of sand. It keeps on dissolving. It keeps on going. But once it's gone, it doesn't come back. And it runs by quickly. Time runs by quickly. Nuh alayhi salam, who lived for 1,500 years, for 1,500 years, when Azrael came to him, I might have mentioned this before. When Azrael came to him, he told him, can you summarize to me how your life was? How long was your life? Nuh lives for 1,500 years. Azrael told him, can you summarize to me how your life was? He says, yes. It's as if I was sitting under the shade, under a tree, I got up and I sat in the sun. How long does that take? 5 seconds. 10 seconds? 20 seconds. More than 20 seconds? Nuh summarizes his entire life, which took 1,500 years, in 20 seconds. He says, to me, it passed by like 20 seconds. They say that time flies by when you're having fun. Indeed. And by the way, Nuh alayhi salam, right before the flood, at the time of the flood, Nuh was 950 years old. At the time of the flood, the Quran says Nuh called his son and wife to come on the ship. He calls his son, the Quran says, Ya Bunay. Ya Bunay in Arabic, you only call your little son, your little boy. Ya Bunay. It means my little boy. You know how old he was? 400 years old. But he calls him Ya Bunay, my young lad. Yeah, time passes. Time passes and it doesn't come back anymore. Islam stresses on time. The Quran stresses on the significance of time and the importance of time. Allah stresses on the importance of time. How? Number one, he swears by time. Wal asr. by time. When you swear by something, it usually has a value. That's why when you say, I swear on my father's life, that means your father's life means something to you, otherwise you wouldn't swear on it. When Allah says, wal'as, this waw, they say it's waw al-qasam. Allah is swearing. Wal'as, and then insan al-fi khus. Wal-fajr, wal-ayal al-ash. Allah swears by the dawn. وَالْلَيْلِ إِذَا يَخْشَى Allah swears by the night. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى Allah swears by time, and several times. This means it has a value. This means it has a significance. It has an importance. This is number one. Number two, Allah has designated times, specific times for our worship and our rituals. Think about it for a second. Have you ever heard of any worship that we perform? Any specific ritual or practice that doesn't have a time? That isn't associated with time? Look at prayer. Each prayer has a certain time. We begin with Salat al-Subh, Salat al-Fajr, and then Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha. It has a designated time. You cannot pray whenever you want. أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَىٰ غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ وَقُرْآنِ الْفَجْرِ At a specific time. And by the way, this verse mentions how many times for prayers. How many prayers do we have altogether each day? Five. But how many times are mentioned in the verse? أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَىٰ غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ وَقُرْآنِ الْفَجْرِ Only three. So when you're asked, if you're asked why do you pray at three times, you say that the Quran says three times. The Qur'an only mentions three times, the Qur'an doesn't mention five times. The Qur'an mentions three times. And plus, we have authentic narrations mentioned in Sahih Muslim and in Tirmidhi and other of the six Sunni sources of hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would combine al-Dhuhr and al-Asr and al-Maghrib and al-Isha together for no reason. It wasn't raining, it wasn't snowing, and he wasn't traveling. Rasulullah would combine these prayers. When you're asked, you have to have an answer. You shouldn't seem like you don't have an answer, because when you don't have an answer, they'll think that the truth is with them. Have an answer. When you're asked why you combine your prayers, you say Rasulullah used to combine. Of course, sometimes it would separate, and other times it would combine. But since Rasulullah combined, it means it's permissible. And Rasulullah would say, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray like the way you saw me pray. However, I pray, you pray as well. Instead, take the offensive. Why do we always have to take the defensive? Take the offensive. Tell them, why do you cross your hands in prayer? Why do you cross your hands in prayer? Refer to all books of history. And see, did Rasulullah cross his hands in prayer? Never. Rasulullah, for 23 or 24 years that he prayed, he never crossed his hands in prayer. Abu Bakr never crossed his hands in prayer. The first person who crossed his hands in prayer was Umar ibn Khattab. Umar ibn Khattab goes to a church. He visits a church. In the church, he sees a couple of priests standing in front of the cross with her hands across. He asked his companions, he asked his friends, he said, why are these priests, why are these ministers crossing their hands in front of the cross? They said, it's a sign of respect. He said, respect? إِذَنْ اِجْعَلُوهَا فِي صَلَاتِكُمْ They'll put it in your prayer. Rasulullah never crosses his hands. Abu Bakr never crosses his hands. Umar ibn Khattab was the first to cross his hand in prayer. Take the offensive. Don't always say the defensive. Take the offensive sometimes. Why do we say Ameen? Why don't we say Ameen? Because Rasulullah never said Ameen in his prayer. Rasulullah said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Rasulullah never said Ameen after Surah Al-Hamd. There were some of the people that came after him. Rasulullah never said As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm in his morning adhan. Why have we deviated from the Sunnah of Rasulullah? So who actually deserves the title Sunnah, Ahlul Sunnah? Who deserves this title? Who's actually following the Sunnah of Rasulullah? When the Umar ibn Khattab enters the masjid, he was sleeping inside the masjid, the Mu'addin comes and he wakes him up for prayer. And he says, Qum, as-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. Umar gets up, says, you know what, that sounded really nice. Bija'aluha fi adhanikum. People wanted to do that, and that adhan would just completely turn upside down. If everything sounded nice, and bija'aluha fi salatikum, bija'aluha fi adhanikum, we'd have a whole other religion. Rasulullah says, Sallu kama ra'aytu muni usalli. And how do we know how Rasulullah prayed? From his household, from his family members. From Ali ibn Abi Talib, from the other family members. Because the people of the household know what's better inside the house. Ahlul Bayt, adra biman fil bayt. Adra biman fil bayt. Anyhow, Salah ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allah has designated certain rituals for specific times. Prayer has a specific time. You can't pray whatever you want. At the end of the week, there's Salat al-Jum'ah. Every Friday, at the same exact time, there's a prayer. At the beginning of every month, it's recommended to sight the moon. It's recommended to go and sight the moon. The month of Ramadan, it's exactly 1 month. The same month every year doesn't change. You begin fasting from dawn till sunset. Doesn't change. It's that exact time. Your khums, you give your khums exactly the same time every year. After an entire year, you pay your khums and you give your zakat. Hajj is exactly the same dates every year. Specifically, the main dates, the 9th of the Hijjah, the 10th, 11th, and 12th. It doesn't change. These are specific times. In Islam, we have rituals and practices that are timed. Why? Why do we have specific times? Why does Allah say, go to Hajj whenever you want? Fast whenever you want. Pray whenever you want. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us the psychology of timed rituals. Allah wants to give us that psychology that everything needs to be timed. Everything has a time. You can't be spontaneous. You can't pray whenever you feel like it. In the middle of the night or during the day. Everything has a specific time. Allah says, do not be spontaneous. You can't be random. The psychology of timed rituals. Everything has a time, a specific time. Stick to that time. Be aware of that time. This is important. Allah teaches us the value of time. And number three, there are hadith that stress on the value of time. The hadith says, one hadith says, لَا تَزِدْ لَا قَدَمَا عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ يُسْأَلْ on four things. What are the four? عَنْ عُمُرِهِ فِيمَا أَفْنَى. How did he spend his life? How did he spend his time? He and she, of course. How did they spend your time? How did people spend their time in this life? How did they spend their lives? There's a concept that's extremely important, and it's called time management. Time management is extremely important. Today, in major U.S. corporations, and maybe here in Europe possibly, at major U.S. corporations like Microsoft, like CNN, and other major corporations, new employees have to take a workshop called time management. Everyone. Every single employee has to take a workshop on time management. What does he learn in that workshop? That person learns how to save time. How to benefit from time. How to invest in time. How to make use the most amount of time with the most amount of production. Or rather, the most amount of production with the least amount of time. How to perform several jobs at once. Because time is running out. And to them, time equals money. Every hour that passes by without production, that means loss of money, loss of cash. So they force their employees to take a workshop on time management. Indeed, there's a lot of people out there that have jobs. They're busy. And they would be successful if they knew how to take advantage of their time. If they knew how to manage their time. There's a lot of people out there, I see them, they're busy. They have a lot of things to do, a lot of tasks to do, but they don't know how to divide their tasks. They don't know how much amount of time to give to each task. If they did so, they would be more successful. Because success depends on time. We live in a world in which time is running out and success is required from us. Especially here in the West, my dear friends. Here in the West, we need successful Muslims. We need successful Muslims. It's very disappointing to hear about Muslims living on income support. This is a disaster. Islam did not teach us to live on income support, as we mentioned yesterday. We're supposed to be successful. Just as other communities are successful, specifically Jewish communities are the most successful communities wherever they go. Especially in the United States of America. Did you know that in the U.S. Congress, before I tell you this, in America, there's almost 7 million Jews and there's 7 million Muslims. The number is almost proportionate. The amount of Jews in America is almost proportionate to the amount of Muslims in America. But did you know that in the U.S. Congress, there's 50 Jewish members and there's only 2 Muslim members? Why? Why are we so behind? Why are we so unsuccessful and other communities are so successful? One of the reasons is time. We are professional time killers. Honestly, we have some members in our community that are professionals at wasting time. They don't go into any other professions, but they seek this profession. When we come to the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, we see that the Ahlul Bayt also teach us to manage our time. The Ahlul Bayt say, divide your time. Divide your day into 4. The Hadith says, divide. Each person has to divide his day into 4 periods. Arba' sa'at. Number 1. As-sa'at al-ula, sa'atun lil-amal. Divide your day into 4 periods. 1 period is for work. Make a living. Make a living, go out and find a job, find a career, find a profession. وَسَاعَةٌ لِلْعِلْمِ And another period for seeking knowledge, for seeking an education, no matter how old you are. Because the hadith doesn't talk about a specific time period, when you're young or when you're old, or women or men or women. No, no, no. It's a general hadith that consists everyone. وَسَاعَةٌ لِلْعَبَادَةِ A period for worship. You have to have a time for worship. For salat, for qira'at al-Qur'an, qira'at al-adhiya, this is important. وَسَاعَةٌ لِلْرَاحَةِ And a period for relaxation. Relaxation includes sleeping, resting, visiting family members, visiting friends. And why do your day? Some people learn days of major chaos. Their day is a major chaos. They don't know where to begin, where to end, what's happening in the middle. They have no clue. What? Let's be more organized. Amir al-Mu'mineen, on his deathbed, one of his most important wills is to be organized. وَصِيكُمْ بِتَصْوَى اللَّهِ وَنَظْمِ أَمْرِكُمْ Amir al-Mu'mineen says, be pious, number 1, and number 2, be organized. Be organized. As individuals, as families, as groups, and as nations, be organized. I wish Amir al-Mu'mineen was alive today to see us. How unorganized we are. Starting from our nations, to our communities, to our families, and to the individuals, even to the individuals. We don't even know the meaning of organization. This hadith stressed on dividing the day into four periods. By the way, when the hadith says arba sa'at, it doesn't literally mean 4 hours. Sa'at, today, right now, it means an hour. Back then, it didn't mean an hour, 60 minutes. For example, when we say on the day of Ashura, Jalasat Hussein liyastariha sa'at, it doesn't mean that the Imam sat for 60 minutes exactly to rest. No, this is metaphoric. It's figurative. Furthermore, the hadith stressed that we should allocate appropriate time for the appropriate tasks. What do I mean by this? If it takes you 30 minutes to have lunch, as an example, don't take an hour. Don't take an hour. If it takes you 30 minutes to have lunch, take 30 minutes. If you take 1 hour to have lunch, you've killed 30 minutes. 30 minutes of your time is wasted. If you need 7 hours of sleep each night, don't take 8. And don't take 6 either. Because it's been proven scientifically that if you don't sleep the amount that you need, for example, if you need 7 hours of sleep, usually, average people, they need 7 hours. If you sleep for 6 hours, that hour that you didn't sleep, you're going to have to make up for it later on. In the middle of the day, you're going to feel tired. You're going to feel sleepy. So it's might as well to sleep the 7 hours, and you'll be more energetic during the day. And don't sleep 8 hours. If all you need is 7, because that 1 hour, you've destroyed. You've killed it. Some of the youth, mashallah, I've heard that you could go up to 16, 17 hours of sleep. Especially nowadays when it's a holiday, there's no school, there's no work. They pull it till the afternoon. Of course, scientifically, they say that youth need more sleep than the older generation. And this is true. When you're young, you need more sleep. Your body needs more sleep. Thus, some youth might need 9 hours of sleep, while the elders might need 4 hours of sleep. I know some older men, they sleep for 4 hours, 5 hours, no more. The older you get, the less sleep you get. But does it mean to sleep 17 hours? You shouldn't sleep for 16 hours because you're killing that time. One hadith says, I want the youth to remember this hadith. مَنْ كَثُرَ نَوْمُهُ جَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَقِيرًا. He who sleeps too much, on the day of judgment he will come for not owning anything. Why? Because he didn't do anything. He didn't work in his next life. He was too busy sleeping. He didn't get up for salah, salat al-subh. I'm not even going to talk about salat today. Salat al-subh, at least. At least get up for salat al-subh. Many youth, they consider salat al-subh, it's something recommended, not wanted. Or it's only mandatory on the weekends. On the weekdays, there's no such thing as Salat Subh. Why? مَنْ كَثُرَ يَوْمُهُ جَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَقِيرًا. If you need 1 week of vacation, don't take 2 weeks. That other week is gone to waste. You can use it in other important things. You can work during that week. You can take advantage of it for this life and the next. Thus, time management. Time management is extremely important, my friends. Salah ala Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Another very important issue on this subject is free time. There's a lot of people that have free time and use time, either on the weekends or during the summer or after school or after work. Even some adults, they have too much free time. Free time, my dear friends, can either be a positive thing or a negative thing. I'll speak about the negative aspect first. Free and unused time can be extremely negative. Number one, it can have psychologically disastrous effects. What do I mean by that? How can free time be disastrous psychologically? I'll tell you. When you're free, When you don't have anything to do, what do? Your mind begins to think. You begin to think about negative things, useless things. Why am I short? Why am I tall? Why am I fat? Why is my nose so long? And so on and so forth. Why don't I have a job? Why does everyone have a job and I don't have a job? Why is everyone getting married and I'm not getting married, for example? This has disastrous effects. When you just have nothing to do, you sit there at home and you think. You think these negative thoughts, this will destroy you. In fact, by sitting there and having these negative thoughts, most of the time it causes depression. One of the major causes of depression is free time. People have nothing to do. Busy people, usually, you rarely see a person who's busy who's diagnosed with depression. It's only the people that have nothing to do. The people have, of course not, I can't make a generalization. I will not make a generalization. But a great deal of those who have depression is because they have nothing to do, they have free time. And most physicians say that depression is a leading cause of high blood pressure, diabetes. You know, diabetes, it's not just from sugar. It's not just from the food that you eat. High blood pressure is not just from the food that you eat. Sometimes it's from the thoughts. It's from the negative thoughts that you have. Even heart attacks. Even brain strokes. These sometimes happen because of negative thoughts, because of thinking negatively. Thus, the first disaster is a psychological disaster. Number two, free time can be spiritually and socially disruptive. How? Number one, a lot of couples that fight, most of the time they fight because they're free, because they're not busy. A lot of the fights that happen between couples is because they're not busy. Because they're sitting at home doing nothing, they big fights. Over useless things. And especially if the husband is sitting at home. Especially if he's not working. He'll tend to pick fights with his wife. He's agonized enough over not getting a job, he'll take it out on his wife. This is not right. Or couples, and I'll mention this, couples that don't have kids. That's why it's recommended that when you get married, have kids. And produce a lot of kids. Honestly. No, I'm not joking. And I tell my friends this. When you get married, produce a lot of kids. It's good for you. Number one, you won't be lonely. I know a lot of couples, they have one or two children. They get older. They go to school, they go to university, these two parents are left alone. Why? But if you have 3, 4, 5, 10, 12, no. You'll be kept busy. That's a lot of couples, they get in fights because they have nothing to do. This is number one. Number two, a lot of people sin because they have nothing to do. When we sin, it's because we have free time. Of course, not all the time. But most of the sins that are committed by us, it's because we have nothing else to do. We have free time. Leave it. We have nothing to do. We sit with our friends, and we start talking about, did you hear about that person who just got divorced? Did you hear about the couple who can't have kids? Did you hear about the lady who had an operation? And so on and so forth. Because we have nothing else to do. If we had something else to do, if we were busy, we wouldn't engage in these sins. Listening to music and other sins. It's because we have nothing to do. And I have to say this. The youth that are... what's the right word to put? The youth that spend way too much time on Facebook. Why? Because they have nothing else to do. If they were busy, if they had something else to do, they would have killed their time and wasted their time on Facebook. I mentioned this last year. Why? Why kill your time, your precious time that Allah gave you, this time that's running out? Kill it on Facebook. There are some people that are addicted. Honestly, they're addicted. They have to go. They have to check who wrote my message, who didn't like my message, and so on and so forth. Yesterday, and I was extremely sad about this. I was in pain. Yesterday, one of the brothers told me that one of the sisters in this community, had posted a message on her page, on her Facebook page, a saying that is unbelievable from this community here in London. I can't repeat it. I can't repeat what she had posted on her book. And she wears a hijab, by the way. Isn't this sad? Isn't this sad? What has our community come to? What are you doing? Why are we stooping to this level? That's it. We came to England. We came to Europe. And we have to turn Europeans? We have to live like Europeans? Not that I have anything against Europeans. But we have to pick up all the European values and forget about our Islamic values? And my question is, where is the father? Where is the mother? Where is your monitoring? Where is your control? This is very sad. This is very sad. I mentioned this last year. That don't stoop to a level where you have to sell yourself on the internet. You don't need to do that. Let's have some more respect for ourselves, whether it's the boys or the girls, whether it's the brothers or the sisters. Let's have more respect for ourselves. We don't need to sell ourselves, sell our pictures on the internet so that people can come to us. We don't need that. We don't. Other youth kill their time, especially the brothers, in Aqeedah sessions. Every night. Every night is an Aqeedah session. Of course, some of them, when you ask them, do you smoke Aqeedah? He says, yes, only on occasions. But apparently every night is an occasion. This is a waste of time. You're killing your time. First of all, you're killing your lungs. Especially if you're doing it every night, every night. So once a week, once a month, you can get away with it. But every night, you're destroying your lungs. You're destroying your health, and you're destroying your time. You're killing yourself. And you're upsetting your parents as well. The ladies that take their poor husband's credit cards and go on shopping sprees. This is a waste of time. This is killing your time. Especially some, I know that they don't go because they don't have clothes or they don't have shoes. No, but because it feels good. Spend on that credit card, have them deal with it, feels good. Of course not all. Not all. Some spend with their own credit cards. The point is, time is precious, my dear friends. Time is precious. Let's not open the drain on our time and let it go to waste. And the hadith says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبْغِضْ الصَّحِيحَ الْفَارِغْ لَا فِي شُغْلِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا فِي شُغْلِ الْآخِرَةِ. Allah hates the person who has free time, who's not doing anything, الصحيح, meaning he's healthy. Some people are handicapped and you don't have a choice. But if you're healthy and you're sitting at home without a job, without a profession, Allah hates this. Why? Because you're not working for this life or the next. لَا فِي شُغْلِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا فِي شُغْلِ الْآخِرَةِ. Instead, Islam says, make use of your free time. And this is a positive aspect. Free time can have a positive aspect. Some people look forward to having free time so that it could be used in a productive manner, in a useful manner. Islam says that if you have a free time, make use of it. Benefit from your free time. Take advantage of it. اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. The first, وفراغك قبل شغلك. Take advantage of your free time before you have no time at all. And I tell this especially to the youth. If you're not married, and if you don't have kids, man, you're lucky. You have a lot of free time. Tomorrow you're going to get married, you're going to have kids, and your time is going to go. There's no more sleep, there's no more free time, it all goes to your family. Take advantage of this time. And the best things to take advantage of and to be productive in, number one, knowledge. knowledge. Seek knowledge. Seek an education. Seek an education, especially the youth. العلم في الصلاة كالنقش في الحجر. Take advantage of this time, don't waste it. I know lots of friends. Once they became 30, they became 40. They started regretting. Why didn't I study? I have a friend who got his master's degree in biochemistry and stopped. Just a year ago, he was saying, I regret why I didn't go for a PhD. I said, well, why don't you go now? He said, I can't. I'm married, I have kids, I need a job, I can't depend on loans anymore, I have to work. But he wasted that time, he wasted an opportunity. You have an opportunity now. And this doesn't just go for the youth, even the elderly. Seeking an education isn't just designated for the youth, even the elderly. طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم ومسلم. Not just for the men, even the women. I tell a lot of women that are housewives, they don't work. Make that time. Use that time in seeking an education. Read, study, listen to lectures. طلب العلم فريضة. It's mandatory, it's not recommended. You have to seek knowledge, especially knowledge of religion, knowledge of faith, how to pray, how to fast. The specific laws, for example, if in the middle of your prayer you doubt whether you're in the second rukhah or in the third rukhah, what do you do? What do you do? Most people don't know this. Most people, they break their prayer and they start all over again. You don't need to do that. If you had actually studied the laws of prayer, you wouldn't break your prayer. And this is wajib. This is wajib upon everyone. To study the laws pertaining to them. Whether it's the laws of tahleel, the laws of tahara, the laws of salah, the laws of hajj, you have to study. Make use of this time. Read. And alhamdulillah, today there's books in English and in other languages. They're found on the internet. Everything has become accessible. You have no excuse. This is one. Two, make use of your time, and this is extremely important. And volunteering, yes. A lot of people have a lot of time, a lot of free time. You could volunteer. There's a lot of Islamic centers, Islamic organizations, Islamic foundations, hospitals, clinics. It doesn't even have to be at an Islamic place. Go and volunteer your time. Go and help. Islam teaches us. Islam has a humanitarian aspect. Go and give. If you don't have cash, you have time. After all, time equals money. When you go and volunteer at an Islamic foundation, 8 hours a day. Well, instead of bringing an employee, giving him or her £1,000 that month, you go and donate your time. It's actually donating money. Go and volunteer. If you have free time, ask your local Islamic centers, Islamic foundations, ask your local hospital, your local clinic, your local school. There's Saturday schools, there's Sunday schools, there's assignment schools. Go and volunteer. Did you know that in America, the population of America is about 300 million? 94 million of Americans volunteer their time. 33% of Americans volunteer at least 1 hour from the week to anything, to any sort of organization, to any sort of foundation, to raising charity for cancer patients, AIDS patients, and whatever. That 33% of Americans volunteering for 1 hour a week, that's equivalent to 20 billion hours annually. These 20 billion hours annually are equivalent to $76 billion. That's a lot. It's a lot. Now let me ask you a question. Which religion stresses on helping others? Helping others. مَنْ قَضَى لِأَخِيهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ حَاجَ قَضَى اللَّهُ لَهُ مِئَةُ حَاجَ. In another hadith, أَلْفْ حَاجَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِحْدَاهُنَّ الْجَنَةِ. When a person solves a problem for another believer, Allah will solve for him 100 problems. In another hadith, 1,000 problems on the Day of Judgment. One of those issues, paradise. which is one of these issues. Meaning you will receive paradise, and you will have 999 other issues that Allah will solve for you. So now it's on us to be generous with our time, volunteering, helping others. And number three, worship. Worship, let's spend our time in worship. For those of us that need to make up prayers, let's make them up. And a lot of people have to make up prayers. If you have to make up fasting, a lot of people have to make up fasting. Make it up before it's too late. Let's recite some of the Qur'an. Let's become familiar with the Qur'an. How can we read everything? We kill so much of our time on the internet, but we're not willing to recite 5 minutes of Qur'an each day. Why? Why aren't we willing to recite 5 minutes from Mafatih al-Jinan each day? Why? Mafatih al-Jinan is a precious book. It's a valuable book. Open it, and you will find a daily program. A program for us, a daily program, a weekly program, a monthly program. There are so many supplications, so many prayers, so many activities, religious activities, that will elevate us spiritually. It will bring us closer to Allah. Why do we have the Fatiha and Jinan in the Quran and our bookshelves that have lots of dust on them? Why? Open the Fatiha and Jinan and look at the supplications. Every day there's a supplication. We can begin our day with dua al-salah. Every morning. This beautiful dua. Beautiful supplication by the Amir al-Mu'min. Allahumma ya man dala'a lisan al-salah bi rukbi taballuj. We say dua al-makarim al-akhlaq every day. This is a beautiful activity. Every Tuesday night, dua al-tawassul. Every Thursday night, dua al-kumain. Every Friday morning, dua al-nadwa. Every Friday afternoon, Dua al-Samad. There's a weekly program, there's a daily program, let's stick to it. This will fill a gap in our lives, instead of wasting our time. There's Ad'iyat al-Ayyam, let's recite them every day. Ibn Sina was persecuted by one of the kings of his time. He had to go into hiding. Ibn Sina had to hide for a couple of months, because the king of his time was persecuting him. He wanted to kill him. After so many months, maybe about a year after, they sent a message to Ibn Sina that you don't need to hide anymore, because he was hiding for about a year. They told him, you don't need to hide anymore. The king, there's no one who wants to kill you. He said, no, I'm not going to kill him anymore. They said, why? He said, because in this year, I wrote some of my main books. He wrote some of his main masterpieces during this time. An ordinary person, he would have wasted this time. It's free time being wasted. Ibn Sina made use of it. The Ahlul Bayt wouldn't waste a single minute from their time. A single minute. The Ahlul Bayt invested in each and every single minute, either in dua, either in the recitation of Quran, or prayer, or supplication, or teaching, or serving. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, for 25 years, they hijacked the Khilafah from him, for 25 years. The Khilafah was taken away from him. Abu Bakr ruled for 2 years. Umar ibn al-Khattab ruled for 10 years. How much is that? 12. And Uthman ruled for 13 years. How much is that? 25 years. For 25 years, Amir al-Mu'mineen did not receive the Khilafah. But did he waste his time? Did he just sit at home and rebel? No. Amir al-Mu'mineen used this time to teach. He taught so many of his companions, like Ibn Abbas, like Ibn Mas'ud, like Ammar ibn Yasir, and others. Amir al-Mu'mineen made use of this time. Thus, the Ahlul Bayt didn't waste a single moment of their lives. Salaam alaykum wa rahmatullah. He was a messenger to Imam Hussein. And a cousin to Imam Hussein. His name was Muslim ibn Aqil. Imam Hussein alayhi salam sent Muslim ibn Aqil to Kufa as a messenger so that he will fix the city at that time, to prepare the city for the arrival of Imam Hussein. However, as soon as Mr. Ibn Aqil arrived to Kufa, everyone gathered around him. He had lots of followers. However, when Yazid discovered that Imam Hussein had sent his cousin Muslim to Kufa, he sent a vicious tyrant at the age of 22, by the way, Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad, whom we speak about, some call him Ibn Ziyad, others call him Ibn Marjan, was only 22 years old. At the age of 22, look what he did. Ibn Ziyad, as soon as he arrived to Kufa, he started buying people. He started buying the followers of Muslim Ibn Aqil. Historians say that one day, as Muslim Ibn Aqil saw that his followers are decreasing day by day, Ibn Ziyad is buying off his followers. Historians say that one day Muslim Ibn Aqil went to Masjid al-Kufa to pray Salat al-Maghrib and Isha. When he began Salat al-Maghrib, the Masjid was packed. The Masjid was full. When he finished Maghrib, before he began Isha, he looked back and half of the followers had left. Half of the people had left. Scared for their lives. He began Salat al-Isha. When he finished Salat al-Isha, everyone had left. Muslim ibn Aqil was left alone, single. He came walking on the streets of Kufa. It was lonely streets, dark streets. Everyone had abandoned him. What a tragedy. When everyone abandons you. Muslim was abandoned. He comes and he sits at the doorstep of a house. The owner of the house, the lady comes out, her name was Tawha. She told him, what can I do for you? He said, Ya Amatullah, esteem Imam, bring me some water. She brought him water. He drank the water, she waited, and he did not get up. She said, why are you still waiting at the doorstep? He didn't say anything. Why are you still sitting at the front door? Why are you still sitting in front of my house? Muslim didn't say anything. She said, why don't you go to your family, to your house, to your children? Muslim raised his head and he said, I don't have a family in this city. I don't have a house in this city. She said, who are you? He said, Ana Muslim ibn Aqil, ghadara bi ahl al-Kufa. Yigillilha wa ana mustadira. لا أهل عندي ولا حشيرة. I don't have a house in this city. I don't have a family in this city. غريب وعماني بغير ديرة ومثل حيرتي ما جرت حيرة. أنا مسلم أنا مسلم الفاجد نصيرة. When she realized who he was, she said, Ahlan bika ya Muslim, come inside the house. She welcomed him to her house. Muslim came that night into her house. He spent the night at Tawha's house, spent the entire night in worship, in salat, in supplication, in reciting Quran. Until the morning, Tawha had a son who worked for Ibn Ziyad, who was part of Ibn Ziyad's army. He came to the house, discovered that Muslim is at his mother's house. He immediately went to Ibn Ziyad and told him that the person who you're looking for is at my mother's house. By dawn, the troops of Ibn Ziyad, they came knocking at the door of Tawha asking for Muslim. Muslim put his armor on, he took out his sword, he went outside and he began battling, fighting. He killed some. He was injured. Finally, they discovered that Muslim has the courage of his uncle, Ali ibn Abi Talib. There's no way for them to defeat him. There's no way for them to capture him, except one way. To dig a hole outside the house, cover it, put a trap, so that when Muslim passes by, he falls into this hole, he falls into the ditch. When Muslim left the house, he fell into the ditch, they finally captured him. Mullah Atiyah, the famous poet, he describes what Tawha felt and what Muslim felt at this time. He says, ولتنا عديهم يا الكوفان رحموه هذا ابن خلك الرار حذر لا تسحبوه خلوه يمشي براحته قلبه شعبته خافوا من الله ما لكم مذهب ولا دين صاحت يا مسلم يا عظيم خجلتي فيه ايش بيدي وانا حرمه وضعيف ما اقدر احميك لو يتركونك كنت فت قلبي وداويك ان شان سلمت من قيدهم سلم على حسين قالها يا ضوح اليوم ما تحصل سلامه وصيك شان بهالبلد نزلوا يتامه قولي قولي ترى مسلم يبلغكم سلامه وجهك على الله والنبي سيد الكون. They captured Muslim and they took him to Ibn Ziyad's palace. They beat him the entire way. And among the things that they performed to Muslim was that they cut off his lips with a sword. As soon as Muslim arrived to the palace, he said, I'm thirsty, bring me some water. They brought him some water. As soon as he began to drink, the container was filled with blood. Because his lips were cut off, the container was filled with blood. He asked for another container of water. They brought him again, it was filled with blood. For the third time, when Muslim saw that he can't drink, you realize that it's destined for him to die thirsty. The same destiny of Imam Hussein salamullahi alayhi. Ibn Ziyad said, take him upstairs, take him to the roof. Take him to the roof of Qasr al-Imara. As soon as they took him upstairs, they took him to the roof. They took out the sword to kill Muslim. Muslim said, give me 2 minutes, I want to pray. I want to pray to Allah, the final prayers of my life. Muslim performs 2 rak'ah salat. When he finishes, one of the soldiers tells Muslim, why did you take so long? Fear of death has taken over you? You took long in prayers? Muslim said, La Allah, I did not take long. God is my witness that this was the fastest and quickest prayer in my life. I usually do not take this long. And then historians say that Muslim, right before being killed, he looks towards Medina and he says, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. As-salamu alayka ibn Rasulullah. As if to tell him, my dear master, my dear cousin, you sent me to this group of people for them to follow me. Look what they've done to me. Look how they've deceived me. Look how they're about to kill me. Ya Aba Abdullah, don't come to Kufa. Do not be deceived by the people of Kufa. The people were sitting, the people were waiting outside of the palace. The people of Kufa were waiting to see what happens to Muslim. All of a sudden, as they're waiting anxiously to see what happens to Muslim, all of a sudden they saw a headless body falling from the roof, falling to the ground. They realized that this was the body of Muslim. As soon as he fell, they tied ropes around his legs and they began to drag him in the streets of Kufa. وَسَحْفًا تُجَرُّ بِأَسْوَاقِهِمْ أَلَسْتَ أَمِيرَهُ الْبَارِحَةِ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله. Raise your hands in dua please. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اغفر الكفار والكافرين اللهم ادخل على أهل القبور السرور اللهم اشفي كل مريض اللهم داوي كل جريح اللهم اكسو كل عريان اللهم اشبع كل جائع اللهم اغني كل فقير اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا الا غفرته ولا هما الا فرجته ولا عيبا الا سترته ولا خوفا الا امنته ولا رزقا الا بسطته ولا شملا الا جمعته ولا مرضا الا شفيته ولا غائبا الا حفظته وادنيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة لك فيها رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم احفظ علمائنا الأعلام لا سيما سماحة سيدنا المرجع، اللهم احفظه وأيد، اللهم كل